is something that we see. And an example of that is, words, I love you. Put a little tone to it. I love you. I love, I love, I love you. It makes a big difference. So our body language is very important in our communication with our spouse. If we're talking about somebody or talking with someone and we're rolling our eyes or we seem disinterested, sometimes that gives us a bad feeling. So there's a lot of things that are involved in it. And I'm sure throughout the week you're going to be getting a lot of information about marriages and families and some of the things that we can do to improve. But communication is one of those things. But we're going to be talking about agape love and marriage today. And it's a fact that society is changing its attitude and that society's idea of marriage is seeping into Christian relationships and even into the church to where we are more relaxed and more accepting of the not-so-Christian views of marriage. And the sanctity of marriage is no longer promoted. And sanctity of marriage is marriage that is between a man and a woman. It is holy. It is sacred. It is blessed. It is a blessed covenant relationship, and it was instituted by God. Marriage todays are struggling. Christian marriages are no different than secular marriages. They are failing at the same rate that any other marriage is failing. Born-again believers, they're divorce rate has risen 25% in the last decade, and the average span of a marriage is 8 years. It doesn't matter whether it's secular or it's Christian. 8 years is not much of a life when it comes to marriage. They have proven that marriages that pray together, that attend church on a regular basis, have less divorce rate. And I believe that's because they have placed God in the center of their lives. And that is the glue that keeps us together. Christian marriages do, that is a commitment that we should make. But I believe actually statistically, what they have proven is the basis of it all is that we're not all in. We're not all in for a lifetime. We need to get to the point where this is an all-in relationship. No matter what, I am in this. I have to tell you that there was an explorer. His name was Cortez. In 1519, was a Spanish explorer. He set sail from Mexico. He was going to set a settlement up there. He had 11 ships, 13 horses, 110 sailors, and 553 soldiers. The indigenous people that were there were approximately 5 million. From a mathematical standpoint, that was 7,541 to 1. That wasn't a very good odds. But Cortez issued an order that was so unusual. He said it's an all-or-nothing mission, and he ordered them to burn the ships. So as they all stood on the shore and watched the ships burn and sink, they came to terms with the fact that there is no retreating, and that's how we should look when we enter the marriage covenant. There is no retreating. We need to burn the ships. We're not going to turn back. We're going to win this war. And sometimes it feels like a war. We all are in. We are in for a lifetime. It is forever until we meet the Lord. The marriage covenant with God in the center of it cannot be broken. It is a covenant. God's covenants are not broken. And when you took your wedding vows, you said for better or worse, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. It is a covenant that was made with God in the center of it. And he blessed that. And I know there are people that are probably here that have been divorced, and I don't know what your situation is, but I know one thing, that God has a way of healing us and bringing us through even those things. But I can tell you that agape love, the love that God gives us in a marriage that is that glue that sticks together, it's hard, but it works. It does work. I can tell you that Art and I have been married going on 55 years. We've been together, 54 years? 55. 55 years. And we have been together 59 years. But I can tell you that there have been times when we have said, this isn't worth it anymore. But we were damaged and we were broken. And you know, God heals damaged and broken people and broken relationships. And you know what? He put us back together better than ever. He put us back together because it was a covenant that he was in charge. And he was the center of it. We'd stand to go our own way, but when we keep him in our focus, when we do it his way, it works. And he glued us back together better than ever. We placed it in his hands. And I can tell you that I don't know where you are in your relationships, but I know a man. I know a man that can put you back together. We need to recognize that marriage was instituted by God. And I want to read you right from the scriptures because it isn't my idea, it's his. This is what the word of God says. It's not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper, comparable to him. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs, and he closed up the flesh in its place. And then the rib that the Lord God had taken from man, he made into woman, and he brought her to Adam. And Adam said, ooh la la. No. He said, that was my rephrasing. This is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And one other scripture I'd like to read, and that is, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he was created. He created him male and female. He created them, and God blessed them, and he said to them, be fruitful and multiply. God bless them. He will bless your marriage. He will bless your relationship. If we're willing to burn the ship and be all in, we got to be all in. We got to make that commitment. The only thing that is above that is our commitment to Christ. Because I guarantee you that our children take a lot of our time when we're raising them. But in the end, guess who it's going to be? It's going to be you and him, or him and her. You're going to be, when. He says when. That is how we should look at entering marriages, to burn the ship. Retreating is not an option. That we're all in, and it is for a lifetime. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And if you haven't seen the ugly yet, it's coming. But he is able in that. He is the witness to that covenant between you and your spouse. And he will give you everything that you need. after those scriptures, you know, reading those scriptures, you realize from the very beginning, God had a plan. That was the first union that he put together. And it was special. And society tries to change that. And the fact is, there is only one way, and that is God's way. And we begin to let society change our thinking. We need to be brought back to the scripture and reminded that it is about him in the center of our lives. And it's all about him. And in that, he will keep us together. He will bond us together. And that's what he wants for us. He wants us to be a forever relationship. It's unconditional love. Agape love is a love that is all in. It is the secret that God has given us, that it's unconditional. It's self-sacrificing. It is giving your all. And Jesus' mission was based on agape love. Agape love, an all-in love that involves a feeling of love that puts them first. And that's a hard thing to do. But Jesus said we were to love one another as he had done. I mean, when you stop and think about it, he gave it all. He gave it all. And that's all he's asking for us. In our relationships, when it is a covenant between our husband or our wives, whichever you are, God, that covenant is with God at the center. And it is for a lifetime. It's giving to one another. It's sacrificing our time, our energy, our resources, with no expectation of getting anything back. And that's the problem with so many of our relationships. Some of the things that we do and the things that we say is the expectation that I'm going to get something back if I do this or I say this. And that's called manipulation. God doesn't want that. He wants a sacrificial giving of ourselves to one another. And that's all he's asking, is that we're all in, that we're surrendered, that we're willing to burn the ship. We seek the highest good for that one that we love. See, Jesus showed us that blessing others, serving the poor, the sick, caring for those that need caring. It is a one-of-a-kind love that you have to be willing to give. It will hold a marriage together in life's storms. And if you have not had a storm yet, you will. There are many that have come, but God has brought us through them. It is an unconditional love that helps us forgive when it's hard to forgive. I got to a point where I realized that I had an unforgiving spirit. I had a bitter spirit. And I actually had to be delivered of that unforgiving spirit and that bitter spirit. And you know what? I'm sure it was better for my husband, but it was the best for me. I was free to just love then. And I didn't have that. God will help you forgive. I know there are a lot of things that probably have happened in relationships that need forgiving, and within us it's hard to do. But agape love will provide you with that. It will provide you with that kind of love that you'll be able to forgive no matter what it was, and it'll put it together. I know of relationships where there have been things that happened in marriage that should have never happened, and God held it together. He put it back together, and he has held it together because they were committed to one another. They were going to show that agape love towards each other and forgive. The best example I can tell you is that there was a gentleman that had a wife that he loved so tenderly and steadfastly. And for 15 years, he cared for this woman. He took care of her because she had a brain syndrome that caused her to even, it was much like Alzheimer's, but she was 60 years old, a beautiful woman, looked like she was 50, and she was vibracious, and and just a beautiful person. And he started noticing things. She forgot where things were, and she'd get out on the streets driving her car, and she wouldn't know how to get home. And so he finally had to take her car from her. But this man, for 5 years in their home, he would take care of her. He would dress her. He would put her makeup on, comb her hair. He made sure that she was that beautiful woman that he always had. And he would take her out visiting friends. And she would get there, and she would meet people that she knew but didn't know anymore. And he never was embarrassed by her responses to them. He just cared for her the best that he could. And then she had to go into a home. She progressed so far that she had to go into a home. For 10 years, this man went to that home. He would dress her. He would put her makeup on, comb her hair. He would feed her. And as long as she could sit up, because she did get bedridden, but as long as she could sit up, he would put her in the car, and he would take her to visit family and friends. And he was never embarrassed by her. He never, ever complained about combing her hair or putting her makeup on or helping her dress. He never complained about the words that she would use that were totally inappropriate, and never embarrassed by her. He continued to love her, even though he never for 15 years received any response back from her. That is a man that is in love and experience agape love, expecting nothing in return for 15 years every day. And that's amazing. I don't know very many people that could do that. But he was committed. He burned the ship. He was not going to retreat. He was all in for a lifetime. He was going to love her just like she was when she was younger. And he did that for 15 years. Ed Wheat is a writer of Love Life. It's a wonderful book. If you're struggling in your marriage, it's a wonderful book to go back to. His wife, his mother and father was that couple. And he writes about agape love because it was in practice, not just in theory. It's easy for us to talk about it, but for us to actually experience that kind of love. That kind of love, putting someone always before yourself, is self-sacrificing. It's kind of what Jesus did. Can you imagine? But he will empower us to do that. He gives us the authority and the power to overcome many things in life and to love like he loved, willing to give his life. That's Jesus' love. And we are capable of that kind of love if we're totally surrendered. He always did what was best for her. And that's where we need to be in our marriages. I guarantee you that if you have a man that loves you like that, you'll love them back. And if you have a wife that loves you that way, you'll love them back. But we have allowed other things to seep into our life. We need to get back to that surrender, burning the ship, committed to all in, remembering that our covenant is Christ-based. He is ahead of our home. You know, that agape love changes who that other person becomes. If you don't love that way and you begin loving that way, I guarantee you that you will see a change in your spouse and the response that there is. I was saved a couple years before my husband was saved, and we had a tragedy that had happened, and that's how I found the Lord. Our nephew was killed, and 6 months later, I accepted Christ, and my husband didn't for 2 years. And I can tell you that those 2 years were really miserable years. And he'll even attest to that. But the fact is that for 2 years, I prayed for him as he struggled through the death of this little boy. You know, one day he decided that he had had enough and he was leaving me. Here I'm praying for 2 years and I'm a brand new Christian. I'm going, what in the world? Am I willing to give up my faith? Am I going to let go? You know, it's amazing what God did. In an instant, he had his hand on the door, a beer in his hand, and he was leaving me. And I'm going like, this is it. I didn't think this was in the plan. But you know, in an instant, God got a hold of him, and we were praying a salvation prayer at our couch. Knelt at the couch and prayed a salvation prayer. And God gave me this wonderful man. It was worth the 2 years' wait. It was worth the wait. We burned the ship, and we're all in. And we've had our struggles since then. That was many years ago. But I can tell you that we're both all in. We have burned the ship, and God's love carries us through the struggles. Through the good times, through the bad times, he's the head of our home. He has given us that love for each other, that we're in it for a lifetime. I want to share with the Ephesians 5 tells all about a husband and a wife. It's a wonderful scripture. He tells us, wives, submit to your own husband. You know, it's interesting. Who wrote this? Was it Paul? He wasn't married. But he knew all about it. I'm sure he watched many people and he knew this was inspired by God. So, wives, submit to your own husbands. Your own husbands. As to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior, the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the husband, the wife, be subject to her own husband in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. He might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or such things, but that she should be holy without blemish. So the husband ought to love their own wives as their own body. He had it down pretty good. Wives, submit to your husbands. They are the head. And husbands, be willing to die for her. I guarantee you that if you love the way this is written, God will hold your marriage together no matter what you go through. I don't know if you have a spouse here or not here. I don't know if you have unsaved spouses, but I know by my own experience, that God is able in all of that. And through your actions, she will be saved. Or through your actions, he will be saved. I know that it is possible because we lived it. I believe that we need to be reminded that the Word of God says there is a role for a husband and a wife. And he made it very clear that it was just between a husband and a wife, a man and a woman. And God will bless it abundantly. But we need sometimes to repent of our selfish ways, placing our needs more important than theirs. We need to repent of maybe harsh words that were spoken in anger. Maybe we need to repent that we've embarrassed or degraded our spouse. We need to repent that we haven't lifted them up and made them feel valued. Because we have a covenant that is a lasting covenant that God is over. We need to repent. We need to turn away from those things that God would not find pleasing in our marriages. Sometimes we need to just bite our tongue, maybe close our mouth. We've said enough. And God is faithful to tell us when those happen. But when we don't, we need to be willing to go back and say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. It's okay. You'll feel better. They'll feel better about that relationship. Art and I used to teach marriage enrichment. And it's kind of funny. Connie is a friend of ours, and she sat in our marriage enrichment class, and she did end up a divorce. So we quit teaching. No. But we used to do something in our marriage enrichment class. We would give them each a piece of paper, and we would ask them to rate their marriage. And yes, it did start a few wars. There were tears sometimes because, as I said before, women are emotional beings, men are factual beings. Sometimes those rules are reversed too. I do have to say that. But we would ask them to rate their marriage on a scale 1 to 10, 10 being the best. And I have to tell you that the majority of the time, not always, but the majority of the time, what would happen is the woman would rate the marriage usually 3 to 6. And the husbands would rate their marriage 9 to 10. And it was, you know, we would have them then switch their papers. And the tears would begin, the women would begin, I can't believe you didn't know, you know. And I think it's because we don't communicate enough with our spouses to let us know where we're not adequate. Maybe where we could improve in this area. It's okay to do that. You know, I really feel hurt because you don't, you know, do this anymore. My husband does one thing for me that I absolutely love. And he expects that I wait for him to open the door for me. I mean, when I get to the car before him, I wait because that is what he does for me. And it shows me that he honors me. He values me. And that may seem simple to you, but it's very important to me. And he'll have guys say to you, you're making us look bad. But those little things are very important in a marriage. There's those little things that maybe your spouse does for you that you really enjoy. Or maybe they used to do, they don't do anymore. Because, well, we've been married a long time. One of the stories that I know I have heard is that, you know, before we got married, when we were going together, he used to shop with me everywhere. We went everywhere shopping. And he'd say, well, she used to sit and watch football with me, but she doesn't anymore. See, they got married and they didn't need to court anymore. So they quit shopping and they quit watching football. But if it's important to them, it's something that we need to do. It really is something that we need to do. And it's okay to say, you know, I really miss that you don't open the door for me anymore. Does that mean you don't value me the way you used to value me? Or do we just get in those bad habits? But that's one thing that my husband does, and I really appreciate. He's a wonderful husband. I have to tell you that he does, whether he knows it or not, he completes me. He is the better half of me. He makes me who I am, besides Christ, of course. But he completes me. And we need to complete, that's what God intended. Probably one of the greatest bouquets I have ever gotten from him was the message. And it said, you complete me. That's the way we need to look at each other, is you complete me. You're important. You're valuable. Without you, I am not me. And we need to really look at one another in that relationship and begin to really go back. Where were we when we were that loving couple? You know, God is, he's got something special for us in a marriage union. He's got something very special, and we need to cherish that. I appreciate my husband. He appreciates me. I feel very valued. And a lot of that is, I know that I belong to Christ, but I know that I belong to him and that I am probably, I could say, the most important thing in his life. And it places a great value on me. Now, I don't know where you're at in your relationship, but I know that God is able to bring you to the point where you'll burn the ship, where you'll be all in, no matter what. You can go back if that's what you need to do. Remember what it was like to be loved like that and be all in. God wants to heal marriages. He wants to heal relationships with children, with families. He will transform you, but you have to be willing. I can tell you that God will put it all together for you. And I don't know where you're at in your relationships, but I would like for us to stand and let's pray for our relationships today. Heavenly Father, we don't want to miss this opportunity. We want to tell you how much we love you. We exalt you today. We know that you are almighty and powerful. You are an awesome God. And you have given us these relationships, Lord God, to cherish. They were put in our midst because of you. It was a covenant in our marriage between our husbands and our wives. And you had a plan for us. It was the best plan. It was the only plan, Lord God. And we come to you this morning, we ask that you bless marriages beyond measure, that you bring them to the point where they place their spouse above all other than you, Lord God. That they become valued and that they are loved beyond measure. And it's because of that agape love, that unconditional love that you gave. You gave your son. You gave it all. And all you ask is that we give our all. We ask, Lord God, that we repent of the things that have held us hostage in a marriage, that have built walls in that marriage, Lord God. You can break those walls down because you are a mighty and powerful God. You have given us authority and power, Lord God, to break those walls down. And we ask, Lord, that you begin that process this very moment. If there's something, Lord God, that needs to be forgiven, we pray, Lord God, that you will give the power to forgive, that you'll give the power to value and to love beyond all measure. And sometimes we don't deserve to be loved, Lord God, but you loved us anyway, and you gave it all. And we pray right now, Lord God, that that will be in our relationships with one another. Build us up, Lord God, in our marriages, in our relationships with our children, with our friends, with our families. Allow us to show that agape love, that unconditional, sacrificial love that only comes from you, Lord God. Empower each one of us. Help us to surrender all, Lord God, to you, that we might love like you, that we will not retreat, that we will burn the ship, we'll commit to being all in, and we will build this marriage, we will build this home, we will build those relationships with our children based on your love, that sacrificial love, willing to give it all. And we thank you, Lord God, for what you're going to do. Heal us. And we thank you, Lord God, for what you're going to do in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now go out and love one another. Thank you.